we're talking about the work of the Citizens Utility Board, or CUB, on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It was created more than 40 years ago by the state legislature, a consumer watchdog group advocating for reliable, affordable utilities on behalf of residential ratepayers and small businesses, giving them a voice, giving them a seat at the table before the Public Service Commission. Governor Evers signed legislation this month to provide consistent funding for CUB. So what questions do you have about how CUB works and its advocacy? What utility challenges does your community face? Would you like CUB to get involved on your behalf? 800-642-1234. Tom Content is Executive Director of the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin. Tom, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Oh, thanks so much, Kate. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, let's start with your backstory before we get to present day utility challenges and your role. How did CUB come to be in 1979?
Sure. So actually, it was the vision of Ralph Nader back in the days of the oil crises and energy crisis of the 70s. He saw that there were consumers, the small consumers around the country, didn't have a voice, and so he wrote a column in the Washington Star newspaper in 1974 advocating for these residential utility consumer action groups to be formed across the country. And Wisconsin, led by Jim Wehner and some other leaders in the legislature, became the first state in the country to actually implement that vision. So Wisconsin in 79 created CUB. And the challenge at the time was what Nader saw and what Wisconsin legislators saw at the time was the utilities and business interest and large business interests had a lot of influence at the regulatory commissions in Wisconsin's case, the Public Service Commission, and the small customer, the homeowner, the renter, or the small business, they really didn't have a voice. And so that's the gap that CUB has been trying to fill all these years, has been working to fill all these years.
So fast forward then all these decades after Ralph Nader, the longtime consumer advocate, really pushes for this. Last week, Governor Evers signs Wisconsin Act 24. It's authorizing $900,000 a year to CUB. How is this different from how CUB was previously funded?
So we are a nonprofit group, but we do get money from members across the state. But it's not enough to really have the revenue we need to really have an effective voice for customers. And so PSC has, the Public Service Commission has had a grant in place for CUB, but it really wasn't sufficient for us to have the kind of advocacy we need. And a few things changed in the last couple of years that made this necessary. The state, actually, the legislature passed a law 3 years ago that encourages the utilities to settle their cases. So these cases at the PSC PSC is a quasi-judicial agency, and there's a lot of legal briefs and expert testimony on both sides. But the legislature is saying, well, why don't you negotiate across the table from the utilities with the customer groups? And so that's what we've been doing, but it changed how CUB functions. And CUB had most of its life it functioned by using outside national experts that would come in on a case by case basis. But in this new world, CUB couldn't get the funding for those experts if we were going to be settling these cases. So as a result, what this new law does is it enables us to have in-house experts on the CUB staff that can basically be our utility experts on utility finance and other issues that can dig into those finances to find more savings for customers.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Tom Content, who is Executive Director of the Citizens Utility Board, the original consumer advocacy organization, as we've been talking about, created in 1979. You can join in with your questions about the work of CUB, what you want it to see take on, 800-642-1234. Tom, why is it important? Because you do have a member base, you do have members. Why is it important for CUB to have this type of funding through Act 24?
I think it's important because we don't want customers to be left without a voice. And our member donors aren't sufficient to take to give Wisconsin that voice. In fact, most states have gone a different direction than the CUB model. 44 out of 50 states actually use a state attorney general's office or some state government agency to do this advocacy work. It's kind of wonky work that has to get done in order to make sure that the playing field is level between the utilities and the consumers. But Wisconsin chose this to have an independent voice, free from politics, free from state government, and that's what's really being validated here.
How has that worked out, Wisconsin's approach to CUB? Because other states, as you mentioned, have these organizations.
Yeah, so I think it's been a challenge because at sometimes politics can come into play. And CUB ended up, the legislature actually cut funding for CUB 6 years ago. And so we've been trying to build back support for the organization across. We're a nonpartisan agent group focused on the bottom line for customers. I mean, we've been trying to build back support for that. But over time, our work has helped it achieve billions in savings for customers. In fact, in the last 2 years alone, we've saved over $300 million versus what the utilities had proposed. So that's our advocacy, what our advocacy has achieved for customers based on the decisions that the Public Service Commission made in various cases over the last few years. And over time, it's in the billions, as I said. It's $3.6 billion over the last 15 years or so.
So you plan to hire a staff attorney, a couple analysts with this funding. What work will you do? What will you take on?
So we're already involved in kind of the major utility rate cases. So that would be the We Energies, the Madison Gas and Electric, Alliant Energy, Xcel, and Wisconsin Public Service. Mm-hmm. But with this, there's so much going on with how quickly the energy world is changing as clean energy becomes more cost effective, and as utilities focus more on reducing their own carbon footprint of their power plants and of their infrastructure. So the utility industry is changing so dramatically that we'll be able to focus on a wide range of things, whether it's the cost-effective clean energy transition, there are statewide policy cases that our analysts can dig into. And of course, one of the things we'd like to focus more on is the energy burden that low-income customers are facing.
Yeah, and that energy burden, equating that can look very different around the state. Is that right?
That's right. And we don't actually have a full picture of how it looks around the state. And that's something that Corey Singletary, Cubs analyst, the analyst we already have on staff, he's our regulatory director, that's something he and I have been focused on, is trying to make sure that we have the data, because Wisconsin has generally tracked energy burden on more of a statewide basis or a utility-wide basis. But if you look at a company like We Energies, they have customers in Milwaukee, they have customers in rural Wisconsin. The same is true for some of the other utilities. So what we're working on is getting better data. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the starting point for what we hope can be some good policies in the future. So we're looking to see if we can get, and the Public Service Commission is now taken on that same effort. The Public Service Commission recently asked the utilities to provide energy burden data on a more granular level across the state. And so that was a good thing to see.
To really see that impact that the utilities have on a family's budget. Tom Content, he heads up the Citizens Utility Board, or CUB, the nonprofit consumer advocacy organization. Have you experienced utility rate hikes? How were they justified to ratepayers? What utility issues do you want CUB to prioritize or take on? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Tom Content here on the Ideas Network. here with us for the morning show as we talk about the work of the nonprofit organization CUB, the Citizens Utility Board. This consumer advocacy group aims to level the playing field between ratepayers and utilities and decisions that affect utility customers. It's also a voice for small customers in this transition that we're undergoing here to clean energy. Has your utility use gone up in the pandemic due to working from home, virtual schooling with family members being home around the clock? What effects do your utility costs have on your overall budget? What do you want to know about calculating your energy burden and how it compares? Join in 800-642-1234. Tom Content is Executive Director of CUB, and he's with us for the hour. Angie is joining us from Cedarburg. Hi, Angie. What would you like to say?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was listening this morning, and all I can think about is how we should be talking about internet as being one of our major utilities. And for the longest time, it's been a luxury. And obviously, in the last year, we know it's not. I'm a rural customer. And you would not believe how much money I spend and still unable to get a decent amount of internet for working at home. I have two companies in my house and for Wi-Fi, and I use a hotspot, and I still can't quite make it through the month. So it's something that really needs to be looked at. And I know I've heard things about it. I wanted to start a petition. I contacted my township about it. We just need to have more options. It's not optional anymore.
Tom, where is broadband in the utility landscape, and what are you doing on this front?
So broadband is definitely a priority. Now, Wisconsin actually deregulated the telecommunications part of its utility infrastructure about 10 years ago. And so CUB had in the past focused on when AT&T, for instance, was a regulated monopoly in Wisconsin, CUB would be at the table fighting against AT&T rate hikes, for example. Now, with broadband, the Public Service Commission and the state are very focused on broadband because of the challenges that the caller mentioned. The challenge of trying to it's almost become indispensable especially during the pandemic. With homeschooling and everything. So, but what we have seen is an infusion of money. The state has grants that they are issuing to expand broadband. And then there are proposals, which appear based on what we've been seeing, to be bipartisan in the legislature and the governor. Both they disagree on a lot of things, but seems to be a consensus on the need to take access the federal dollar, a lot of federal dollars that are available for expanding broadband. But that is a key priority.
Do you see any push for communities to incorporate broadband into their local public utilities to lay fiber locally and bring it under the umbrella, if you will, of a public utility?
There's been talk of doing that in around the country, and mm-hmm. I think there may be discussions that are forthcoming in Wisconsin. I think that's something that that Wisconsin could see more of, especially in the rural areas mm-hmm. where there are the electric cooperatives, which technically aren't regulated by the Public Service Commission, but they're kind of regulated by their own owners. But there is a push for more. Since the co-ops are located in the rural areas, and rural areas often have some of the broad broadband challenges, there is a push in that direction.
Let's bring in Don now in Wauwatosa, wanting to talk about billing periods. Don, what are you experiencing?
I think that there is an injustice built into the irregular billing periods. What We Energies does here in the southern part of the state is they increase the billing period dates from maybe 29, 30 days to 34, 35 days in the holiday period, the winter period. and that drives up the facilities charge at the time when the bills are the highest. And I don't think with digitization and modern technology that there's any reason any longer to have those irregular billing periods. I think the excuse they used to use was that they couldn't get all the meter readers out during the holiday period. But I think that should be regularized going forward.
Don, thank you. Tom, what do you see here on these billing periods?
I think that has been a challenge over the years with the meter readers. When they couldn't access your meter, you would get sort of an estimated bill. An estimated bill would come out during that it would be for an extra period of time. But that I agree that's something that we shouldn't be seeing as much. And she highlights an issue that we've worked on, which is the challenge of those the high fixed charges on both the electric and the gas bills, and that's something that CUB has been advocating for years to try to make sure that those aren't as high as they are, because they kind of discourage energy efficiency and people taking steps to save on their own bills. But that's something I'll take back, and we'll look into that billing period issue and some more.
Yeah, Don, thank you so much for that. We're talking with Tom Content of the Citizens Utility Board. Governor Evers signed a bill this month giving more funding to CUB. We're discussing the plans for the funds and what happens next with your situation on utilities and what you see in your community, 800-642-1234. Tom, in January, you wrote a forecast for the year, and you said all five of the major investor-owned utilities were expected to file plans this year to raise customer rates. Has this come to fruition?
Well, we're still in wait-and-see mode on some of that. These cases take a while to get going, but CUB, we now know we won't have all five raising in for cases to raise rates, because last week both We Energies and Wisconsin Public Service, so the two utilities serving most of the eastern part of the state, both filed plans with the PSC that would keep our rate settlement in place that CUB and other groups negotiated in 2019. So as a result, for those two utilities, we're not seeing an increase in 2022. Excuse me. They'll be back next year to look at a case for the following year. So it's from a workload perspective for both the Public Service Commission and for CUB, and from a bottom line for ratepayers, and it's good to see these things when you can push off any increase, especially during a pandemic. That's a good thing. So we're still waiting and to see what gets filed by the other three main utilities: Xcel, Alliant, and Madison Gas and Electric.
Let's bring in Jerry now in Campbellsport, wanting to talk about solar. Jerry, hi.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. So
I've got kind of an add-on to the last caller, Dawn and Tosa there, talking about meters and facilities fees. First question, I guess, is I noticed on my last several bills that so I'm a net metered customer of We Energies with a solar array, and my facilities fee for the meter on my generation is actually more than the meter for my consumption, about 8 cents difference, and that, you know, isn't terribly huge, but I was kind of curious as to why, if there's any insight into the difference in the facilities fees on those when they're physically the same meter. And then the other part related to solar is I was curious if CUB was instrumental at all in helping keep at bay the surcharges that We Energies was trying to impose, I think about 2 years ago, on solar customers, because as it was kind of billed at the time, they felt solar customers weren't holding up there in the bargain with, you know, reduced consumption and stuff. So those are two of the third one I had is...
Hold on there. Let's do part one, part two here. So first of all, you know, Jerry's asking about these different facility fees on the same meter. What is going on?
That I'm not positive what he's seeing there.
Okay.
We're not as focused on renewables as some of the other renewable advocacy organizations, but that's something I want to take back and check on and maybe get an answer to Jerry, if Jerry can leave his information.
Absolutely.
The second question, Cub did speak out against the solar surcharge that was raised, that We Energies had proposed 2 years ago. Something that we didn't want to see. We thought it unfairly penalized customers that wanted to generate their own electricity. And we were glad to see that proposal was dropped.
We are discussing utilities in Wisconsin with Tom Content, the head of the CUB. That's the Citizens Utility Board. We'll pick this up right after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. We're discussing the work of the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin and its advocacy efforts on behalf of consumers, representing the interests of homeowners, renters, small businesses in utility costs. Tom Content is Executive Director of CUB of Wisconsin. He's with us for the hour. Tom, walk us through this, if you will. So when a utility goes to the Public Service Commission and seeks permission for a rate hike for customers to cover rising costs or whatever it is, what does CUB do?
So essentially, as I mentioned earlier, it's a kind of a legal process, quasi-judicial process. And so what the utility does is file an application, and they have their own expert witnesses that advocate or that demonstrate here's how our cost profile is changing for the coming year, but the concern that CUB always has is utilities have a fiduciary responsibility to their shareholders to increase their and as part of that, every time they increase costs for customers, it's a profit driver for the utility. So what we want to look for is examples of gold plating where there's just too much money being spent in a given area. And so when we look, what our experts do is look through and see where there can be opportunities to find savings. And it gets technical, and that's with an in-house financial analyst on staff, we'll be able to do even more of that kind of work in the years ahead. So as the case flows through, it's expert witnesses on both sides, and then at the end, and then the PSC commissioners at the end of the year, each year have to end up sorting through a series of decisions and working to strive at that balance.
Let's bring in Mark now in Kimberly. Mark, hi.
Hi. I'm wondering if there's democratic control in how the Public Service Commission members are elected or appointed, how many of them are, how often are these appointments or elections? Or is really the CUB the best avenue for, or the fastest, most responsive avenue for democratic, influence of the commission?
Mark, thank you. So how the PSC is structured and, whether CUB, as Mark said, is a voice for trying to navigate the PSC.
Yeah, we're happy to explain that. We're definitely a voice to help customers kind of navigate through the maze of what is what. And people sometimes get confused. Is CUB a government agency? What's the relationship between the two? So that Mark brings up a really good point. So the PSC is an agency that has a lot of staff of auditors and financial experts, but at the top are three commissioners who are appointed by the governor. It's a typical appointment process, political appointment process, appointed by the governor, must be confirmed by the Senate, and they have 6-year terms. They're staggered terms so that, you know, as of now, we have two commissioners appointed by Governor Evers and one appointed by Governor Walker. And when Governor Walker was in office, it started with appointees from Governor Doyle and then converted to three Republican appointed commissioners by Governor Walker. So that is kind of how the makeup, and what Cubs tries to do is just be a constant voice for the consumer at the commission and helping customers kind of navigate things. But we are, the challenge Wisconsin has had over time is that our rates are higher than other Midwest states and higher than the national average. What Cub is trying to do is make sure that the consumers have that voice to rein in higher than average rates.
Yeah, you know, I want to know, are Wisconsin utility costs set at fair prices currently? What do you see?
I mean, I think that over time, I think that the PSC has been moving in directions that are positive, but over time the profit levels that the PSC has allowed Wisconsin utilities are set at too high a rate, especially in an era of low interest rates that we've been experienced for a while now. Wisconsin's rate profits for the investor-owned utilities are far above the national average, and so that's a key issue that Cub works on that we're trying to shape in the years ahead to bring those down, that's what I'd say there.
We're talking with Tom Content, who is Executive Director of the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin, taking your questions about utilities, rate paying, and the situations that arise in your community around electric, gas, water. 800-642-1234. Frank is joining us from La Crosse with a question. Hi, Frank.
Thanks for taking my call. My question regards the Public Utility Board's position regarding the power line transmission company's investment in these transmission towers that are planned beyond the ones that are in the state, the network that they want to continue to expand on. My specific question is, what is the utility board's position regarding two questions? One, it's never been proven that the consumers of Wisconsin are going to benefit from these power lines. And two, the PSC under the Walker administration has allowed the conglomeration of utility companies to charge ratepayers with higher utility costs rather than the stockholders. This infrastructure isn't something that the ratepayers are going to benefit from, but the Republican PSC has continued to allow the stockholders to benefit rather than at the cost of the ratepayers.
Frank, thank you. Tom.
Yeah, so I think you raised, there is a lot of investment in transmission, and that's something that is a real challenge for customers, because transmission costs used to be about 4 cents of a typical utility bill, and now they're a typical dollar, every 4% of a typical utility bill, and now they've escalated, so they're more than double that now. So Cub actually did hire experts in the big, most controversial case involving the Cardinal Hickory Creek power line from Madison to Iowa. Mm-hmm. And our expert found that project was not justified given the alternatives that were out there. Cub was concerned about that. And I think what he raises a really good point, which is that there's been so much focus on the infrastructure on the supply side of the utility business, and there are two sides to the utility to customers' bills. It's the infrastructure that the utilities keep our building and asking customers to fund. But then there's opportunities for savings through energy efficiency. And Wisconsin has not invested as heavily and needs to invest more in energy and ways for people to save on their bills. The cheapest way to address carbon emissions, the cheapest carbon reduction is to use less energy. And we have a statewide focus on energy program that has been termed to be among the most cost effective and such program in the country. But we're leaving money on the table. We're leaving customers money on the table if we don't do more in terms of helping customers save money.
So you think, you know, we're focusing too much on the supply side of utilities, building up the supply, and not enough attention on how buildings can save energy. And so really, you're saying we need to really shift this focus.
That's right. That's right. It's for too long. One of the things that really drives up rates, our rates in Wisconsin, has been the supply, the investment in transmission lines, the investment in fossil fuel plants and new fossil fuel plants, keeping older fossil fuel plants going, and all that infrastructure and the need to pay for that has pushed up prices, and now we're actually seeing a new wave of construction on the renewable side, because as soon as some of these coal plants got this extra investment. To keep them going, the energy market changed dramatically. The solar is now the most cost effective choice for utilities, and utilities are now moving quickly to decarbonize their footprint. And so the challenge is that's a lot of steel. A lot of steel that we've already paid for and are still being asked to pay for. And then it's a new kind of steel. It's solar and wind steel now, mostly solar. But there are cost challenges for customers.
Well, let's talk a bit more about infrastructure with Gene in Knapp. Gene, hi.
Hi. Yes. Does CUB have any oversight, or do they investigate at all for the internet infrastructure grants that are being given out to, like, CenturyLink and others, to make sure that they actually have a performance enhancement, as opposed to just laying the fiber optic cable and saying, okay, it's here, pay me? And because I know we've had it installed in our neighborhood up here by Knapp, and there's no improvement in service.
That's a really good question, Gene. I think that CUB doesn't focus on the telecom side or on the broadband side, but I know that there's a push to try to make sure that we're not just laying fiber and not getting high speeds. But that's a real challenge I'm hopeful that the PSC will be focused on that, and I'll be communicating your concern to the PSC on that very point. I think that they do issue these grants, and I think the minimum standard for the grants that they issue, I think they have been focused somewhat on making sure that the higher speeds are really available to the maximum extent possible.
We're with Tom Content, who leads the CUB, the Independent Consumer Advocacy Group, representing homeowners, renters, small businesses, utility customers here in Wisconsin. What questions do you have about Wisconsin's transition to clean energy? Do you support how the Public Service Commission and energy companies have been progressing on rates? What matters do you want CUB to focus on with utilities? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Tom Content here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Tom Content. He's executive director of the Citizens Utility Board, or CUB, of Wisconsin. A new state law enables CUB to seek Public Service Commission approval for up to $900,000 a year in funding from residential and small business customers expressly for consumer advocacy. And Tom stays with us for 10 more minutes. So, you know, Tom, what is your position with the moratorium on utility shutoffs, which next week will be lifted? This could affect 93,000 residential customers. What is CUB's stance?
Yeah, no, we were concerned that the moratorium is being lifted. There are a lot of people who have been really struggling with their bills and ended up in unfortunate situations getting behind on their bills during this, with job loss and other things with the pandemic. We were appreciative that the commission did extend the moratorium when it did last year, and we're concerned with the variants and the cases whether this was the time. And so, but the PSC did agree to lift the moratorium. So what we've been in touch with some of the utilities, and most of the utilities we've spoken to have told us that they plan on being flexible. And this is the key, and working with customers to get people connected to energy assistance dollars that are available and get them set up on payment plans. Because that's a critical thing now is to make sure the disconnection notices may prompt a wave of interest in people calling for local nonprofits and community action agencies to get that assistance.
How plentiful is that assistance flowing during this pandemic? I mean, we have seen the dollars, the CARES Act dollars from the federal government. What has happened since?
So since the CARES Act, Congress has passed two more bills that have money for utility customers. The December congressional bill has already led to a $387 million in rentals. It's called emergency rental assistance, which is mainly for rental assistance, as the name says. Mm-hmm. But included in that is utility bill assistance for unpaid utility bills. So there's a portion of that can go toward that. Consumers who are behind on their bills, we have some resources on our website at cubwi.org. And then another good tool is heat.wi.gov for the latest information on some of these programs. There are dollars available, and more is coming through the recently passed American Rescue Plan Act, which also will allocate money not only just for renters, but for homeowners that are struggling, both to prevent foreclosure on their end with mortgage payments, but also utility bill assistance. And the last thing that's happened, go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to jump in here because along these lines, Mark is joining us from Madison with a question. Mark, hi.
Hi.
What would you like to add? Go ahead.
Well, first I want to say we've been CUB members for decades now and think it's a fantastic organization for ratepayers. It's the best value they can make in any kind of charitable donation. So I was really upset years ago when the base rates were increased. The poor utilities business model is broken or under stress. As an apartment building owner with 10 units, why couldn't I just cut the building down to 1 meter that I pay for and therefore relieve all my renters of their requirement to pay the electric base fee?
Mark, thank you. What do you see there, Tom, with an apartment building owner?
I think that the utility does want to have, you know, be able to meter each individual unit, but that has become a real issue with the fixed fees that we're seeing not only on the electric side of the bill but on the natural gas side of the bill, and we certainly appreciate Mark's support and our members' support over the years for CUB. But that's one of that fixed fee is in multifamily is a challenge, and it really what we hear about from our members is actually the fixed fee on the custom on the natural gas side of the bill. So
that is more of a widespread issue.
Right. Exactly.
When you have those multiple meters on a single unit. Let's bring in Patrick, who's joining us from River West. Hi, Patrick. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm just starting to listen to all these other questions and points of our energy and our infrastructure. My wife and I, we renovated a 1950s house. We did geothermal wells and in-floor heat, and then took out all of our inside walls and spray foamed insulation. All this added to the value of our house, which then makes us pay more taxes, which we, so you get like piled on for spending two or three times as much for your energy source. So it's like you get penalized for trying to help out, you know, people in the future. Pollution. We don't have kids. You know, we're in our late 50s. So this isn't about us fighting for the last little BTUs of energy. It's for, you know, doing the right thing, but then your local government jumps all over you. So there has to be a better, you know, united understanding of dollars spent on making the earth a cleaner place. Yeah,
Patrick, thank you. You know, what do you see there, Tom, in the ability to transition to clean energy and make it affordable and equitable?
Yeah, no, and that's kind of what he's seeing on a micro level is the challenge we're seeing on a macro level in a way. We're hoping when you make these investments, you're hoping that the energy cost savings that you see are going to provide a financial payoff for you. But one of the challenges we see on a macro level is as part of this making this energy transition affordable. Is what should customers really be paying for at the end of the day? Should they be paying for everything that utilities have been making these investments, as I mentioned earlier, on the fossil fuel plants, and now those fossil fuel plants are going away. So the utilities want to keep profiting from those plants for years, decades after they've shut down. And that's, we don't think that's fair for customers. To have a more affordable and cost-effective energy transition, what we really need to do is have enable the transition to cleaner energy sources, but charge the customers for the energy that they're going to be the power plants that are actually going to be running and not the ones that are going to be shut down.
Well, Tom, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Tom Content is Executive Director of the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin. We have a link to the organization at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.